always talking entrepreneurship, always talking about leadership. That's because we're radio entrepreneurs. Welcome back. My name is Jeffrey Davis, and I want to thank our friends over at MTP Software, leading firms in the solutions of CRM solutions for the sports and entertainment industry. They are our host who built us this studio, and our next set of guests, Jeff Newsnow and the Reverend Jeffrey Brown of the My City at Peace. Welcome.
Well, it's great to be here.
Great to be here.
Yeah, great
to nice to have three Jeffs in the room, too.
Yeah. Well, you know, we could get rid of the other guy.
Yeah.
Well, we have two American spellings of the name Jeffrey and one British.
Yes.
Because, you know, I grew up in Canada, so I know that the G is the British way.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so I my parents gave me
the You can tell from my accent.
Yeah, quite an accent. You guys are pretty deep. You know, you guys got a lot of fanfare before you came in here.
Yeah.
My executive, our chief operating officer, executive producer, were talking about you guys. Mm. You know, you've done a lot of speaking, do a lot of public speaking. Tell us about My City of Peace and why it's really created so much momentum and what's been the legacy.
Yeah. I mean, My City of Peace sort of came into the fore once I observed in all the work I've been doing to reduce violence in cities that it unlocks economic potential. And so the dilemma that I had was, once we're in a community and the violence goes down, how do we maintain a standard of living for those who remain in the community, you know, where they can enjoy the benefits of that violence reduction? And so My City at Peace.
How to live as a family in a community again.
Absolutely. You know, so
with
that
repair.
Yeah, it's about repairing the communities and restoring communities and then allowing them to thrive.
Right.
Yeah.
A lot of work. I assume that, you know, I've read a lot about Holocaust survivors, and, you know, even two generations afterward, people maintain a lot of the scars.
Yeah.
Mm. So I assume that repair is important, because once you've lived in a community that's been violent or you've felt a sense of terror, it's hard to remove that from your psychological state of mind.
Absolutely. But once the violence goes down and people are beginning that process of feeling safe again in the community, you know, the pride in the community starts to build. And, you know, you want to provide a space where that pride can grow, that idea of self-regulating a community, you know, becomes important. And that's where we come in.
Do you find there are some, you know, I deal with a lot of resistance every day in my line of work. It's a different type of work, but the resistance is the biggest thing I'm dealing with. Yeah. Do you find that resistance can be generalized in terms of the majority of resistance you see that you come across every day for change?
Yeah, I think it's pretty much generalized. You know, you have, when we work in cities and talk with community residents, there are people who want change, they desire change. They would love to be in a situation where things are different. And so what they need is some help in order to make that happen. And then once they make that happen, you know, all kinds of possibilities grow.
Interesting. Do you want to give us a little bit of the background about the origins of My City of Peace, how it sort of came about in the first place?
Sure. Why don't you go ahead, Jeff?
It's time for the G-Jeff.
The G-Jeff.
Tag him in. That was the producer.
So when I met Reverend Brown, he'd been doing this work for over 20 years and had seen this tremendous impact at a community level. And one of the observations that really, you know, was sort of the insight that drove the creation of My City of Peace was that when you reduce violence in a city, that you basically start a number of virtuous cycles in that community. And the one that is perhaps the most visible from an economic perspective is that the community effectively becomes open for business and open for investment again.
Right.
And among many other things that
you need commerce to continue.
That's right. You need commerce, and even simple things like parents feeling comfortable taking their kids out to the park and going to the local stores and shopping at the local market rather than, you know, trying to get out of that community to do their shopping. So there's a lot of things that start to just drive more and more economic development in those communities when it is, you know, when people feel safe to do business. And one of the things that is most impacted by that is actually the real estate. The value of the real estate it goes up. In violent areas, you have this really double impact, this compounded impact of you have challenges keeping tenants and getting a certain amount of rent, but you also have a challenge from the market, the financial markets, who perceive a risk that is often even higher than the reality. And so what you end up with is significantly depressed property values and a lot of absentee landlords.
Right.
You know, you've heard the term slumlord before. That's the sort of de facto standard for non-subsidized housing. And the insight that we had was, well, if you start these virtuous cycles, instead of all of that money leaving the community with these absentee landlords who, you know, often are either individuals and families outside those neighborhoods or sometimes institutions who will buy, you know, large apartment buildings, for example. If instead of that, we're able to take advantage of that appreciation in both the asset value and the, you know, effectively the cash flow of those investments and bring some of that money back into the community, that we could not only fund our work, but in fact deliver good economic returns. It turns out
that's a lot of work because there.
That's right.
There's a lot of people that you have to get involved in something like that.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, the theory is that a dollar invested in this work pays bigger dividends than a dollar invested in a new kitchen in an apartment building or a dollar invested in new windows or paint.
Right.
And in fact, it's quite a bit more than that. The economics of this work are really significant in terms of increasing property value. You know, it will go up at 2 or 3 times the rate of surrounding areas. As a metric to think about it.
Interesting. Now, I've heard that there's been a desire to replicate what you're doing in other cities. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about that as well?
Sure. Why don't you talk a little bit about that G?
Yeah. So, Reverend Brown started this work with his team in the Boston area. And he has since rolled that out on a pilot basis to how many cities now?
About 23 cities.
About 23 cities.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
And what we're trying to accomplish is to extend to both a larger number of cities, but also to increase the sustainability of those efforts. Mm-hmm. One of the challenges is once you do the work and you see an effect, it's then sort of ironically more difficult to get the funding the next year. Mm-hmm. So if it is no longer the top item on the list because now people want to invest in education and infrastructure and other things that you would, you know, naturally want to invest in, well, it's hard to then get the money to continue to affect the next generation of children and law enforcement and clergy and other people who are involved in the core work.
Right. So we see My City at Peace as a way to continuing the work itself, but then also reaping the benefits of that work. So as the violence goes down, the property values increase, the involvement in the community increases, and that just continues to generate itself.
You must spend all of your time just meeting with people, public officials, private officials, residents, and just trying to create consensus around a vision. Is that correct?
That's pretty much it. And what we're finding is that, particularly in the last several years, you have cities who have seen increases in violence, and they saw the collaborative work that we've done in Boston as being replicable in their particular cities. So in cities as small as Rockford, Illinois, and as large as Brooklyn, you know, because, you know, Brooklyn is really a city.
It's a big city, right?
And
its demographics have changed a lot.
Absolutely.
And Chicago has a lot of problems, as
absolutely,
you're saying.
A lot of problems.
I was just with someone from Chicago yesterday who was lamenting with me the problems of Chicago.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
Deep-rooted.
deep-rooted problems. But right. what people are beginning to realize is that that collaborative approach is really an important step in terms of the fostering the wellness of the entire city. So you'll have police departments who are predisposed to doing collaborative work with community leaders. You have business leaders seeing that it improves the business climate to invest in this. You have schools who are open to this kind of collaboration and intersecting with the community. And, you know, we've been doing this kind of work for the better part of 25 years. So we pretty much know how to come in and do it in a quick and effective way.
Very nice. You know, we've had the Anti-Defamation League on the radio show many times, and they've told us that that hate is epidemic.
Yeah.
Do you work with other organizations as well, not just government and private? Do you work also with other nonprofits to work in the community?
Absolutely. You have to work with everybody who sees that it's important to reduce violence in a particular community. So it'll be the local nonprofits that are invested in different kinds of ways, mentoring programs, if you will, after school programs. You know, anyone who wants to come together and really help share the load in terms of a collaborative approach to reducing violence.
You know, our interviews aren't long on Radio Entrepreneurs, but if you were to ask our listenership to do a request, what would that be?
Well, a call
to action?
Right. First would be to listen to the podcast that Reverend Brown hosts called The Courage to Listen. Mm-hmm. And you can find more about it on thecouragetolisten.com. And that is really focused on the core storylines in communities from the voices of the leaders and activists in those communities about how they are affecting real change.
Absolutely. And I think that courage to listen is really a part of that call to action to, you know, for communities to come together in this collaborative method and really, you know, stop using violence as a housing subsidy and really come together, build community in a way that's a benefit for everybody within the community.
Oh, interesting. If somebody wants to get involved with My City at Peace, how would they contact you or find you?
MyCityAtPeace.com, and there's some email addresses and phone number that's right on the website, so MyCityAtPeace.com.
Would you come back and give us a case study and talk to us about projects that you're working on? Because, again, our interviews are shorter than, let's say, your TED Talk interviews and your podcast.
Right.
But there's a benefit to shorter in today's media world because we have our YouTube channel, and we would love to continue to promote what you're doing. And if you come back again and give us some stories, we'd love to be able to do that with
you. We'd love to come back.
Great.
Yeah.
We'd like to support you.
Also mentioned thecouragetolisten.com.
Will you talk about that? TheCourageToListen.com?
Yeah, TheCourageToListen.com is the podcast that Reverend Brown hosts and I produce that is focused on the people who are really making a difference in the communities, from police chiefs to corrections officers, as well as leading scholars and academics who are focused on reducing violence and patterns of crime.
And then keep your eye on it. My book, The Courage to Listen, will be coming out soon.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And we look forward to having you come back again. We hope
Thank
we
you.
Can help you as much as possible.
Appreciate it.
My name is Jeffrey Davis. We've been speaking with Jeff with a G, Neznow, and the Reverend Jeffrey Brown, who spells his name just the way I do. My name is Jeffrey Davis, and I'm host of Radio Entrepreneurs. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages.